Mark Beach joins us on Sports Byline. If you're looking for a wonderful book about football and about tradition, I want to urge you to check out When Saturday Mattered Most, The Last Golden Season of Army Football. And Mark is a guy that served 5 years in the United States Army. And this book is an account of Army's football's last great season, which was back in 1958 when the team finished 8-0-1, but they declined a Cotton Bowl invitation. Mark, what was it, aside from the fact that you were in the Army, that really made you want to write this story?
You know, my dad was a West Point grad as well, class of 59. So he was seniors with the seniors on this team, guys like Pete Dawkins and Bill Rao, who was a center, and Bob Novogratz, who was a great guard and linebacker. And so I grew up knowing about this team and seeing them on my dad's yearbook when we go home to visit his parents. You know, I was just, this was the 70s, you know, when I was just coming into my knowledge about football and especially Army football. And all I knew was that they weren't really that good. And it was almost unimaginable to me that Army had ever been undefeated, ranked number one in the country, which they were in 1958, you know, had a Heisman Trophy winner and you know, almost won the national championship. It was sort of like another world, and it was fascinating to me. And I learned, you know, over the years, I learned different facts about the Lonely End and Red Blake. And, you know, and I was kicking around for ideas for a book a few years ago. I kept coming back to this one. And I kept trying to dismiss it because I thought, well, it's, you know, it's too easy. It's, you know, it's my family. It's my own history. But, you know, when I finally committed to doing something and doing this book, it was just such a wonderful revelation to find out that there's a real story here. There's a real book. There's a real, you know, there was stuff on the line for this team beyond, you know, what happened on Saturday.
This was a time that was kind of a transitional time, was it not? Because this book is also not only about the last great Army team as well, but this is when football went from being primarily a college sport for the fans to the National Football League taking over, right?
That's exactly right. This is when Saturday mattered most. This is, you know, that the Colts beat the Giants in the NFL championship game a month after Army beat Navy to finish their season undefeated. And that was the game, you know, 45 million people tuned in on television. And that was the game that convinced people at the NFL, especially Pete Rozelle, who did something about it after he became commissioner, that they could make a lot of money on television with this game. And they began to market their products for that, and pro football took off. You know, the TV contracts really made it. You know, the TV contracts for the NFL in 58 and before were these little local deals worth maybe a couple $100,000. It was nothing like what we see today. And, you know, the Army did okay through the 60s, but in the end, you know, when the 70s came, they fell off a cliff because they just couldn't compete with that. My line is, the same kind of guy wants to go to Army today as he did back then. A guy who's looking for a challenge, who's looking to serve, who's thinking about something, you know, meaningful. And that's still true, but the same kind of athlete does not go anymore. And that's what's been lost, or that's what was lost after 1958.
Well, another thing, too, is you could not talk Army football during that particular time without talking about Red Blake. Tell everybody about Red and how successful and what he did for Army football.
Well, what a fascinating character. You know, he was a 1920 West Point graduate. He'd gone when it was a two-year program. You know, it was during World War II, and he actually entered. Nobody knew it at the time, but it was during the last days of World War I. So he was there for 2 years, and he graduated into the cavalry. But MacArthur had been the superintendent when he was there, and they'd struck up a friendship because Blake was an excellent athlete. And Blake very much fashioned his own personality after the general. You know, he had this command presence. He was aloof and austere, and he hated those descriptions. But he cultivated that manner. You know, standing apart at practice. And you know, every guy I talked to from the 58 team remembers talking to Red Blake because it only happened about once or twice. you know, he was a very, an indelible character and really a a memorable one. And he was a prodigious winner. He went undefeated 5 times in the 40s and won 2 national championships or 3, depending on who you believe, after the tie with Notre Dame in 46. And he was a coach of coaches. The joke in coaching circles, even in 58, was that a job on Red Blake's staff, most assistants would do that for free because it would lead to a head job of their own. 22 men who worked for Blake went on to be head men at college or pro programs, including Vince Lombardi and Sid Gilman, 2 guys who shaped the NFL.
Well, speaking of Red Blake, he was pretty innovative himself. Part of the reason for his success was an offensive scheme called the Lonesome End. Tell everybody what that was.
Well, the Lonely End was, and it's actually interesting because Blake was not known as an innovator. He was a 3 yards in a cloud of dust guy. And so that's one reason this thing took everybody by surprise. But what it was it was just an unbalanced line with a wide receiver. And not an unbalanced line in the sense of a guard, a tackle on the tight end, and a guard and a tackle on the other side of the center. It was a guard and 2 tackles. And the end, Bill Carpenter, was split at least 15 yards wide on every play, sometimes right next to the sideline. Sometimes he got up to 18 to 20 yards away. So he was split way wider than any normal wide receiver. The wide receiver was nothing new, but this was. And what made it unique and what made it incredibly impactful was that he never went back to the huddle, and that really captured people's imagination. But it also was great for Army because Blake learned, and he and his assistants learned, that when he was lined up out there, and that formation was there on every play, the defense basically had to declare their intentions before Army ever snapped the ball. And that was a tremendous advantage for the cadets. It was such a unique thing that it's a bit like playing a service academy now, where you're preparing for an offense, a ground-based option offense that you're not going to see all year. This was a much different thing. And Army led the country in passing in 1958. It was just a unique offense that did something that nobody else was doing. And the Army was very fast and exploited it, really well.
We mentioned about them going 8-0-1 that season, and yet they turned down a bid to the Cotton Bowl. Why was that?
Well, Garrison Davidson was a superintendent, and he was merely carrying through Army policy, or what had been always West Point policy. Davidson and Blake didn't agree completely on how, where football fit in the cadet experience. But actually, they did agree on that. When Blake retired at the end of the 58 season, the speculation was that it had been because he wanted to go to a bowl game and Davidson wouldn't let him. But that wasn't the case. He thought the Navy game was the most important game of the year. And he was usually had a cold by the end of the season anyway. So he was not feeling like going to another game. So they were both okay with saying no to the bowls. The cadets had other things to do and they were there for another reason. Air Force, actually, it's interesting. This is a sign of how big college football was, how much bigger than pro football it was. Air Force went undefeated in 58. And Air Force actually accepted Army's bowl bid to the Cotton Bowl and went and tied TCU.
You know what's interesting, Mark? We hear about scandals at schools nowadays, and we don't usually think about them when you go back in different eras. But that was not the case, and you would certainly connect scandal with Army, at least because it's a military institution. But in 1951, yeah, Blake's dynasty almost comes apart because of a cheating scandal at the academy, and 37 of the varsity players expelled from the academy, including Blake's own son.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine today. People keep asking me what scandal I compare it to, and there's not really a good comparison because it wasn't over, college basketball had just gone through the point-shaving scandals. It wasn't over something criminal. It wasn't over some recruiting thing. It was cheating. It was integrity and honor, which was tremendously, West Point was a tremendously important institution, and most people were close to somebody who had just gotten done serving in World War II, and were at that time serving in Korea. So this was a scandal that impacted a lot of people in the country and sort of was a blow to the academy's image in a sense. And Red Blake always felt that they you know, the Academy had singled out his football players. That didn't really turn out to be the case, but he never really got over that feeling. And it was sort of one thing that drove the last third of his career, was a strive to redeem his program, to build it up to what it had been, and do it the right way.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us, and thank you for writing this book. It's a fascinating read. Come back and join us again anytime on Sports Byline.
Ron, thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure to be here.
Mark Beach with us again. I hope you'll check out this book. I think you'll find it insightful and interesting. It's called When Saturday Mattered Most, The Last Golden Season of Army Football. The author, Mark Beach, and the book is an account of Army football's last great season, which was 1958, when the team finished 8-0-1 and also declined a Cotton Bowl invitation. So this is a pretty good book. We'll take a break, continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.